May my words be true to you and a blessing to your people. They say that you can tell a lot about a person by the way they approach putting together flat-pack furniture. Some people want to read the instruction book in detail. Some look at the pictures. And some just get on with it, looking at the bits of MDF and metal in front of them and out from there. It is definitely a figure it out for yourself person. Well, I tend to go for the pictures. Some of us read the instructions, which can sometimes cause a few problems. While it's true that people tend to fall into one or other of these groups, I think not all people benefit from seeing an example of the finished product before they start, so they know what to aim for. When I was training to be a teacher, I quickly learned when it came to setting children off on an activity, whether it was a piece of art or craft, a written assignment or a science experiment, they would, without fail, be able to produce better results if they had been shown an example of what they were aiming for, with the caveat that they should not slavishly follow the model to the letter, producing a mini-me version of it. Not only did the quality of work they produced increase, but their behaviour also improved, as they were able to relax into a task, knowing that they were working on the right lines. And they would not find, on getting to the end of the lesson, that they'd spent their time heading in the wrong direction. And what was good for them is also good for us. And the lives of the saints who we celebrate today, in many ways, function in the same way that the models of craft or poems or bits of science did for my students. They show us a model of what to aim for in our lives, what a life lived the right way looks like, so that we know what we are aiming for. And like my models I used to provide to my class, they're not there to be slavishly emulated, but to inspire us to have confidence, to head off in the right direction, bringing our own personality and creativity to the journey. God, after all, created us to be us, not a second-rate imitation of somebody else, however admirable they might be. And hopefully, like the children I taught, having a model of what to aim for helps us to relax and enjoy the journey there, rather than being anxious, wondering if we are getting it right. Some people are a bit uncomfortable with the idea of saints, fearing that they might devalue the place of Jesus in their lives. But the way I picture it, it's a bit like a school of life. If Jesus is the head teacher, the one who is the ultimate authority and where the buck stops, the saints are like the class teachers, each having their own speciality and thing that they can teach us about. Some saints teach us through the witness of their lived life, and some through their teachings. Some saints have been recognised by the church and rubber-stamped with an official saint label. And some may be ordinary people who we know and who have inspired us and acted as a model for us. This morning I'm going to tell you about three saints who have inspired me. Each one of the saints I'm going to mention enrich my life and my faith in a different way. The first saint I'm going to tell you about is also the one who lived longest ago, St. Ephrem. And in here, here he is, St. Ephrem. So you can see that's a pretty long time ago. He lived in about the 300s. And what he reminds me about is the beauty and awe and mystery of my faith. So we'll pop him over here. He shows me that faith is not a mathematical equation which needs me to get the correct answer, but that sometimes a poet can be be the best theologian. St. Ephrem lived in the 300s in what is now Turkey. He lived in the period when Christianity was still getting established, and there were lots of heresies floating around. Christianity had still not nailed down what it thought about lots of things, and not everyone agreed. There were the Arians, who thought that Jesus was not fully God. The Marcians, who thought that the God of the Old Testament was a different God from the God of the New Testament, and that Jesus was not really human. And the Manichaeans, who blended Christianity and Zoroastrianism. In the face of all this, St. Ephrem defended orthodoxy. But rather than doing this by getting into theological slanging matches, like St. Gregory of Nazianzus, he showed how to respond to differences of opinion in a creative and inspiring way. Rather than explaining to people how they were wrong, St. Ephrem sought to inspire them through the beauty of the vision of faith he offered them. He wrote beautiful hymns which unpacked theology, and he organised choirs of women to sing them publicly as a way to win people over. And so he has left us with beautiful, faithful poems such as this one, which I'm going to share a bit of with you. Whom have we, Lord, like you? The great one who became small, the wakeful one who slept, the pure one who was baptized, the living one who died, the king who abased himself to ensure honor for all. Blessed is your honor. It's right that man should acknowledge your divinity. It's right for heavenly beings to worship your humanity. The heavenly beings were amazed to see how small you became, and the earthly ones to see how exalted. Moving on about 600 years, we get to another one of my favourite saints, St. Simeon the New Theologian. There he is again. St. Simeon lived in a similar part of the world to St. Ephrem, and St. Simeon also wrote poetry, but he was given the name the New Theologian by the church in recognition of the way he shook up Christian theology at a time when it was getting a bit institutional. There was a move in the wider church at that time to separate mystical theology, which is theology rooted in our personal experience of God in our own lives, from a more rational approach to faith, based around thinking the right things. St. Simeon challenged this and brought back the head and the heart in faith. He called people back to a living experience of God. Monks had also started to believe that they could almost earn a closer relationship with God by doing the right spiritual practices. St. Simeon recognised the importance of a solid prayer life, but he also talked about the intense experiences of God he had been blessed with while he was, as he put it, still muddy with sin. For St. Simeon, God is present to all people, and he saw the kind of mystical experience that he had as available to all baptised Christians. Reading his poems and writings, you encounter many of the ideas which would not be heard in the Western Church until the Reformation, but they are expressed without rejecting any other part of theology or the Church. By grace, St. Simeon says, I received grace. So the first saint I've talked about calls me back to the awe and beauty of my faith and shows a way to engage with differences creatively. The second reminds me of the importance of my experience of the living God and reminds me to always hold heart and head together in faith. And the final one brings us almost up to the present day and models what a courageous and holy life looks like. So, Mother Mamia Skotsova. She was not an obvious contender for the position of saint. She started out life as a Bohemian socialist revolutionary. She was twice married and had little interest in social niceties. She also smoked like a chimney, used colourful language, and had anarchistic leanings. She was earthy, sturdy, and real. St. Mamia's business was with action, not theory. As she said, no amount of thought will ever result in any greater formulation than the three words, love one another. Her life became a hymn to this truth. She was born as Elisabetta Pilienko in Riga, Latvia, in 1891. As a child, she wanted to be a nun, or to spend her life as a pilgrim, walking from shrine to shrine. By the time she was a young woman, her idealism had found a temporary home in a radical circle of poets and revolutionaries. But soon, she tired of them, once she realised that they talked a lot more than they acted. She became frustrated with a Christianity which was an idea or a set of abstract values rather than a community to live in. She set about dedicating her life to helping poor and downtrodden people. In time, she was approached by her bishop, who wanted to develop a new form of monasticism, which was fully engaged with the needs of the world without any barriers. And so, in 1932, Elisabetta made her profession as a nun and became Mother Maria. She rented a derelict building and opened a house of hospitality in Paris for people who, as she put it, needed to regain their breath until the time comes to stand on their own 2 feet again. The belief driving her was that, as she said, each person is the very icon of God, incarnate in the world. And so, to venerate God, she served her brothers and sisters. In order to feed the 120 people each day, she would beg food from the Paris market stalls. She was sustained by the Beatitudes, and she said, at this very moment, surrounded by a dismal and despairing world, we already savour the blessedness they promise. Her home became a refuge for people in despair, homeless people, sick and disabled people. She said, it is not enough to give. We must have a heart that gives. We should not give away a single piece of bread unless the recipient means something as a person for us. Jesus always puts an equal sign between himself and anyone in need. Once war came, it would have been possible for Mother Maria to leave Paris when the Nazis were advancing. But she said, if the Germans take Paris, I shall stay here with my old women. Where else could I send them? Once Paris fell, as a Russian, she was targeted especially by the Nazis. She and her co-worker, Father Dmitri, started to help Jewish people, issuing baptismal certificates to them to protect them. In July 1942, 12,884 Jews were arrested, including 6,900 children. While Mother Mamia worked to bring food to the sports stadium where they were being held, she managed to smuggle out a number of children, hiding them in rubbish bins. Her house was now full of Jewish people, but she argued that if anyone came looking for Jews, she would show them an icon of the Mother of God. She and Father Dmitri set up routes of escape to the unoccupied south and sourced forged documents. In April 1943, they were arrested. Mother Maria, now prisoner 19263, was sent in a cattle truck to Ravensbrück camp in Germany. In the camp, she was a light to others, organising discussion groups and services, always of good cheer, on good terms with everyone. She hoped to survive the war and to work for the reunification of the church. On Good Friday 1945, with the Red Army approaching, she was killed in Ravensbrück gas chamber. Witnesses say that she took the place of another prisoner who had been chosen. Those who knew her commented, "She radiated the peace of God and communicated it to us." Mother Maria taught that sin is the refusal to be touched by the pain of others. In her life, she showed us what a life lived in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, in a surge of love, looks like. So those are three of the people, the many people, who I give thanks for, who have gone before me, and to help to light the path that I want to follow. And I wonder, who are the people who do this job for you? Maybe you can immediately think of lots of people, whether they are official or unofficial saints. If there are people who act as a model like this for you, maybe this is something you can share during the open mic time at the end of the service, or over a cup of coffee afterwards. If you don't have anyone who comes to mind who helps you spiritually in this way, then maybe this is something it's worth giving a bit of thought to. There are so many wonderful witnesses to their faith who have gone before us, and they can really help us in many different areas of life. Saints can inspire you, encourage you, guide you, and challenge you. Unlike Jesus, as well as being good models, they're often flawed characters, and so are in some respects easier to relate to. And if you don't come from a tradition which talks much about saints, but I'm intrigued even a little bit to start a journey alongside some of them, reading the Sermon on the Mount might be a good place to start. Have a think about which bits of the sermon you struggle with the most. Is it being brave and speaking up for your faith, which you find difficult? Maybe someone like Oscar Romero or Dietrich Bonhoeffer might be a good role model for you. Both of them took great risks for their faith, and their speaking out in dark times led to their deaths. Or is it meekness, humility and dependence on God which you want to develop? What about St. Thérèse of Lisieux? Her beautiful writings about her little way might be a good guide. Or what about Brother Lawrence, who was not allowed to be a full monk as he came from a poor background, but who has inspired people all around the world with his simple writings, coming from his pureness of heart? There are so many wonderful guides to our journey in faith. I'm happy to give ideas about where to start to anyone who is interested. Just talk to me afterwards. And finally, of course, our Philippians reading reminds us that not only should we seek out good role models, observing those who live according to the example you have in us, as Paul puts it, but we benefit from imitating those examples. Just as St. Simeon imitated his spiritual father monk, and little by little he became more like him, so we have the ability to become more and more like the people we admire and study. As Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise." And as Matthew put it in our reading this morning, by living our lives right, letting our light shine before others, we can give glory to God. So choose your role models carefully, and see where they take you. Let us pray. We give thanks for all the Christians who have gone before us and who have preserved and handed on their faith to us. We pray that we may be inspired by their witness to live wiser, kinder, and braver lives. Amen.